after those three screwballs who thought they were going to climb Mount Hood, didn't quite make it, so the rescuers had to go up and rescue them. Apparently, the rescue teams reached the climbers late this morning, and they used some type of device to rescue them.
They were found via an MLU, a mountain locator unit. Everything they did was right. In fact, everything the climbers did in this occasion was right, which makes the big difference between a rescue, a successful rescue, and a recovery.
They were found huddled with their dog, Velvet. They had sleeping bags, mats, some under rocks, huddling up to keep warm.
Do you know anything about the dog?
I don't know very much about the dog.
Okay.
It's one of the bigger dogs around. They're like a Labrador Retriever, one of those type of things.
I see. Is it okay?
Not like a Chihuahua.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't bring Muppet on the mountain.
No, don't do that.
Why are they still going on the mountain? Haven't people learned their lessons yet?
Nope. People have death wishes. So they'll continue to do foolish things. And there's not much we can do about that. Well, we can all call Claudette Osborne of Grants Pass double lucky. Last week, she won her second brand new automobile in 9 months while gambling in a casino. Last June, she drove home with a $30,000 silver Saturn Sky convertible from Spirit Mountain after playing the penny slots. And last week, it was a $20,000 shiny red Volkswagen Beetle she won at Seven Feathers Casino in Canyonville. We all hate people like her, don't we?
That's not fair.
Say, carnivores, Oscar Mayer, chicken strip swimming recall. Apparently, but these are chicken strips with rib meat. They may be contaminated by the chickens themselves. It's God's way of getting even, I suppose. Off we go now to Hollywood. LAPD says actor Ray Liotta faces suspicion of DUI following an accident that occurred over the weekend in the Pacific Palisades. Lieutenant Paul Vernon said the 52-year-old actor was driving his Cadillac SUV when he allegedly slammed into some parked vehicle shortly before 7:30 at night.
There were no serious injuries involved in the accident. There were three cars involved, including his own. This occurred at the intersection of Palos Verdes Drive north of Vereda de la Montura Street.
Well, all right. Sarah X. Dillon, you have a photo shoot this evening and a big partying evening along with your sister, Heather X. Dillon. Hello there.
That I do, Tim Riley. I think I'm very happy that it's Best Of this week. I think it's nice to start it off on, you know, a calm note.
Heather, how do you feel about your sister being a fashion model?
Quite impressive. I cannot wait to see the photo shoot.
Yeah, and actually Muppet's going to be in it.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. This little mohawk.
Will you be bringing photos back to your fashionable apartment in Harvard Square?
Oh, yes. I will plaster my walls with pictures of Sarah.
I think, no, actually, we're going to do some photos together tonight.
Oh, are we?
We're going to do some fancy ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring those in.
That sounds delightful.
Awesome.
And you'll be seen partying on the town later, I suppose.
We will
be. In fancy cars.
Yeah, I'm going on like 3 hours of sleep. But we're going to do it again.
Well, you're young, you can make it.
Thanks.
Make sure you take Scotty J with you. I hear he's quite the partier.
I think we might leave Scotty J at home.
All right. You hear that, Scotty? You're being left home tonight. It's time now to return to the Best of the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Radio program. Scotty's preparing for his suburban perspective statement.
What's it on?
I don't know, but he's in there preparing. I mean, I do know
Rick,
what it
what
is.
What did you do?
Nothing. I didn't do anything. I'm just saying he's in there. I went in there just in time to hear him say there's no information on the internet about the State of the Union address. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, CNN is not covering the State of the Union address. And I said, okay, and he said, CNN, there's nothing there about the State of the Union address, even though they are a lib organization.
But isn't that what he's supposed to be talking about
today? And then
today?
He started pounding angrily in the keyboard. Well, we'll see. It's 503-733-2970. Well, before we do anything else, let's welcome Tim Riley to the studio in mere seconds here. We will have some headlines of Tim Riley, then we'll do the, we should do the top five then. Then we'll have the Suburban just ran in. And then ran out again. Then we'll have the suburban perspective with Scotty J. I'd just like to read this, first of all, before we do anything else. Actually, no, that's a lie. I'm going to read this first before we do anything else. Porn industry may decide DVD format war. It's a dirty little sea. This is from Fox News. Scotty, this is from Fox News. It's a dirty little secret that's not at all dirty or secretive for follow, those who follow technology trends. The porn or adult industry tends to serve as something of an oracle when it comes to predicting which technologies eventually make their way into the marketplace and which ones don't, blah, blah, blah. And so this is what everybody follows technology knows, is that two things... There are two things that drive technological development in the computers, in the computers and tubes. One is porn and the other is video games. Every technological development that you enjoy on the internet right now, every new technology in terms of graphic, delivery systems, bandwidth, every single thing you use every day in your computer right now was originally pioneered for either video game playing or porn watching. That's just the reality. Those that I'm not saying that to be...
I thought porn drives technology.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I was giving it in layman's terms.
No, I'm pretty, yes. No, it's that's what I said. Yes. No, it's anywho. So yeah, porn and technology are the responsible for the driving of technology. Porn and video games. So those are the two things that require the pushing of the envelope. That's sort of a fact. That's only so I can read this because they're talking about how there's that HD. And please don't call about this because it's not that I don't care. It is that I don't care. And I know that you all are smart and you know this stuff, but I just don't care enough to really talk about it right now. I'm only going to reserve that there's an HD DVD and Blu-ray technology. And I know I'm a geek and all, but that's what I'm saying. I know that I'm a geek and blah, blah, blah. I'm supposed to know this stuff, but I don't know what Blu-ray discs are. I don't know what HD DVD does. It just doesn't really matter. I'm just going to, like everything else, I'm just going to wait.
Does it have a start and stop button?
Probably. I'm just going to wait until somebody tells me what I'm supposed to buy. That's what the Americans do. I'm just going to wait until a commercial tells me what product is going to solve my problems. I'm only reading the story just so I can get to this, which is where a guy named Gardenia, I swear to God that's his name, is talking about Blu-ray and HD technology, and he's talking about the adult industry settling on a standard. This is the longest setup for a dumb sophomore joke. Quoting now, he says, "You have to remember that the adult industry is all about low entry. The adult industry is all about low entry," he says. "It's a low-hanging fruit. You just grab it for a few seconds." That wasn't nearly as funny as it was in my head. This morning when I was looking at it, I'm like, low entry, fruit, grab. That was really funny. Okay, that's funny.
And it's true. A drunk man, stuck aboard a locomotive that was pulling several cars, started pushing buttons and levers, and actually had the engine halfway started before he was confronted at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Man with some ambition.
Mm-hmm. The engineer said, apparently he was harassing the crew and refused to leave.
Excellent.
This was the little train that wouldn't. When deputies arrived, they found 22-year-old Caleb Gary nearby. He was arrested and charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle and trespassing.
Excellent. Well done, whoever you are.
So moments after reports circulated that Aisha Washington went into therapy, Grey's Anatomy creator Sondra Rhimes...
Please tell me he's been fired. Please, please, please tell me he's been fired.
No, she weighed in with a statement that sounds like she's hedging her bets on him. She says, quote... This will make you even upsetter. We applaud and encourage Isaiah's realization that he needs help and subsequent choice to seek immediate treatment.
And by help, I mean a beating.
The only applause he should get when he gets his ass booted out of there.
Seriously.
Because anyone in any other business who would use such a language would be fired.
Well, I mean, I know. Okay. All right. Well, you know they're going to write his ass
off that show. His fate will be determined by ratings, not moral outrage, and namely whether his presence hurts or helps the show.
Well, because
don't watch it.
That's what I'm saying. Well, because I quit watching Grey's Anatomy after the first season just because it's not my deal. But it would be difficult. And look, I'm a guy that can overlook all kinds of vile behavior on the part of musicians and rock stars and whatever. But I mean, the response to him using that slur is just so disproportionate. Proportionate to the response of anything he's ever done on that program, that for them, for the creators of that show, it is now a net loss for them. The cost-benefit detriment ratio is now solidly against him. So yeah, F that guy and boot him right off there.
All right, so there.
All right, in his face.
All right, should we do the top five?
Oh, yes, yes. Let's now, here's the top five for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's up 5.
You know, it's hard to believe any of the people we grew up in are now in their 50s and 60s.
If not older?
It's weird.
I mean,
your world is vanishing. Who are you speaking to?
Oh, I'm speaking to myself.
Okay.
Well, for the most part, I do speak to you.
Well, stop it.
Right, I will.
And stop that laughing.
No, my world is...
Yes?
Nothing.
Now, what was your world?
Turn off the music for a second.
Yes, Tim?
Yes?
Something you're holding in?
Oh, no, something is just tickling my fancy, I suppose.
Should we continue? Go ahead.
All right. Oh, I was just clearing my throat. Not that I was laughing. And this week, one of Rock and Roll's premier golden throats turns a staggering 54. But still manages to conjure up musical glory behind the microphone. Part snarl, part sweetness, Robin Zander of Cheap Trick has given life to some of rock and roll's all-time enduring anthems. So let's celebrate his life, because he doesn't have many days left.
That's a terrible thing to say.
If I'm celebrating somebody's life, they're either dead or almost there.
They're dead, or somebody's about to yank the plug.
Here are the top 5 Cheap Trick songs that are not Surrender. With honorable mention going to Voices...
synthesizers of music, meaning they synthesize, they put together various elements. Because the beginning of the song is all Beatles. This is kind of Beatly too.
I love this song.
This is a great song, too. This song managed to be so dirty sounding and so tough and so sweet at the same time as the melody. Listen to that. Eat your heart out, Doug Kreiger. This is a great song, too, because it's all about a woman that is so ugly he can't look at her face, but she's got money, and therefore, blah, 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 he's a whore. That line about her teeth are green that shows her money. Drunk songs that are not Surrender.
At number 4, If You Want My Love.
Don't say fall.
Well, it's the very definition of just airy pop here.
pointed out, there's a whole pre-chorus here that is full-on stolen from While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Showing up here in just a second. So it's absolutely photocopied from the Beatles.
I pointed that out?
Yeah, a long time ago we played this song once. Right here. This While My Guitar Gently Weeps on here.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Not once, except for that Flame song. And everybody's allowed one. Everybody's allowed one bad song. I can play this all day. Here's Tim Riley with the top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender.
At number three, the Dream Police.
What a weird song this is. Stop this here. I'm going to stop this song here. I'm actually going to...
Oh, come.
Because I'm going to play it out of this other player so I can skip ahead for a minute. Because I want to get to these... I can't skip ahead on the Card-O-Matic. It's got a great name, but you can't skip ahead on it. It's just such a bizarre song. I don't even know... I don't know if Rick Nielsen is just crazy or if he was just high or... is this the big build right here? This build that just goes on forever, but it's just fantastic. Is this it? Right here. Strikes me for a pop song. And it just goes like the Electric Light Orchestra. So good, it wears me out. All right, there you go. That's, we're doing the top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender.
And number two is Hello There.
Let's just acknowledge this song for a second. First of all, I'm amazed that no one had ever done a song like this, which is about opening a show, and I think it opens the record too. And it's Are You Ready to Rock? And it's got the best opening. One of those little. I'm a big fan of incidental moments on records, which is a sound or a noise that's not part of the actual song. It's like studio noise or like the beginning of Sweet Child of Mine. Especially in the video where you hear the guy plugging in the guitar, or like a little pick scraping, or just like an ancillary noise. Sometimes it's even a mistake that you hear it and it makes the song. And with this, it's this little da-da-da-da thing that happens at the beginning. You'll hear it. And then, of course, the song itself is the best thing ever. It's right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. And number one, I want you to meet me.
And of course, the live version, which is definitive. Nothing I can possibly add to this. Nothing I can add to the song itself. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Who fell off a cliff are fine, and so is their dog. They were found about 10:45 this morning. They're bringing them down the mountain, but it's going to take a long time. I guess they can walk. They were found huddled under some rocks, trying to keep warm, along with their dog Velvet. So that is it. Well, we're here with we're chatting with two young gals, the Dylan gals, Heather X and Sarah X Dylan.
And Scotty just took off.
Well, Scotty, I understand it's his wedding anniversary, so he can't be out gallivanting about like he is on many evenings.
Scotty
misses tonight.
I don't know.
Celebrating the 13th anniversary.
He's playing the sick card. I think he's hungover.
No, that could be.
Don't you think so, Heather?
It could be possible.
Well, let's talk about some news that's of interest to you ladies. According to the Cleveland Clinic, you both stand a very good chance of having a stroke.
Check cholesterol levels, not just for stroke, but also heart attack. And this just adds to the body of evidence that, yes, cholesterol level is very important. It should be assessed in people to determine the risks of both stroke now and heart disease.
All right, so I would take that seriously.
Thank you for sharing it.
Gallivanting about at the trendiest night spots with entrance-only game by exclusive VIP passes.
Enormous
to the general
VIP
public.
Passes. I know.
Inside of my head.
I know. Those are the biggest things I've ever seen.
So we can't tell people where you might be found tonight.
No, I don't. I actually don't even know where it is.
All right.
We're going to have to find it.
Well,
would you like to come with us, Tim?
Oh, should I have a night out with the gals? I'm not sure. I'm a little too old for such things.
So do you have any news on Britney Spears? Has anything else happened?
Well, her hair still hasn't grown back. We've checked it, and she's still as
bald. She's still sufficiently bald?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So perhaps she needs a hair transplant after this.
Medical hair restoration.
Oh, there you go.
And the body of Anna Nicole Smith? Looking pretty good. She's ready for visitors now. She's been embalmed, and they say she even looks better than she did when she was alive. So that's good.
Yeah, but she was sitting in there for like a week and a half.
No, she got the VIP treatment there.
Yeah.
And that's about it. So both of you two have a fine night out of the town, and we'll find out what you did tomorrow.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, ladies. We continue now with the Best of the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. In a few seconds, Tim Riley joins us in the Ministry of Truth. And then we have Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. Oh, and I haven't told the... talk about Taylor Swift yet. So Taylor Swift, I don't think we have time to play this song. Maybe we can do this tomorrow after the whole thing happens. So Taylor Swift is a rising young country act. She has a song called Tim McGraw, which is really good, actually. It's a really, really great song. And I'll go on and on about that tomorrow. I won't do it tomorrow.
Does Tim McGraw have a record about her as well?
No, but, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. We don't have time to play it, but I will say this. It's a great song. It's so great. And when I say it's so great, it's great on a... There's that Malcolm McLaren crass part of me that appreciates the fact that it's a brilliant idea for a single. And then musically and melodically, it's also a very beautiful song. And she wrote it herself, which gets big points for me, because so few people in country music write their own stuff. They usually just go to the, you know, song farms and they just buy them. But I...
Well, we can probably play it into a break.
Well, so...
Why don't we do that? She's not in the building, and then, like, she thinks the other station's making fun of her.
Well, do you want to do that? That would never happen. Do you want to,
You want to wait till she's in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, do you want to... How should we do this? We've got Tim here. We're going to do the Tim McGraw. We're going to do the Taylor Swift thing. Then we'll break over to Scotty. Well, okay, well, let's go, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
to mourning the announcement by John Kerry that he will not run for president again.
That's not really terrible.
Well, all except for one, we did find someone who was mourning.
Was he drunk?
No, it's Ted Kennedy. No, wait a minute. Maybe you're right. Bam! See, that's what I'm talking about right there. I don't even care if you faked that. That was brilliant.
It was gold, wasn't it?
Yeah. He says, Kerry is a magnificent man.
Gentlemen. Eloquence, this passion, this insight, this knowledge, history, awareness of public events is something that characterizes the career of John Kerry.
Is that multiple choice?
Ted Kennedy's face has become huge and square as he is
bigger than Jerry Lewis and John Travolta.
It's true. But it's like a big square pumpkin on top of his head. You know what I mean? Just a huge block of spongy.
It's like a big map to the surface, which you could have used some time ago.
Totally. Kennedy says that Kerry has one goal.
Now John has decided to continue to
God and Ron.
Devote his passion, his interests, his energies towards bringing our troops home from Iraq safely.
All right. As opposed to not safely.
Okay. It's just so hard for me to get excited about anything involving John Kerry. I mean, okay, he's not running. I guess that denies us some sort of humor. But it's impossible for me to be excited about that at all. It really is just nothing. So,
all right. Well, the day after the President's State of the Union address, Tony Snow held his first question and answer session from reporters. And what was the main topic? Iraq?
No. The economy.
If you take a look at what has happened to the economy and the obstacles we have overcome in the last 5 years.
We're losing a war.
The performance of this economy is absolutely remarkable, and you're not going to help it by raising taxes.
All right. Well, whatever.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony Snow. Thank you. Thank you, Tony Snow. All right. Well, let's talk about Taylor Swift for a second, shall we?
So I think it's long overdue.
So if not now, then when? If not me, who? Sarah Dillon's eating yogurt with a fork. With a knife. How sad is that you have to eat your yogurt with a knife because they've thrown away all the other utensils and cups?
It's the only utensil.
No, they don't order spoons.
You know, soon we'll be in another building where they have spoons.
Do they have spoons?
Well, I think the person who runs the spoon desk in New York is on vacation, or their job was eliminated, and they're not rehiring the spoon orderer.
We're moving to our new studios. We have 2 days left. We have tomorrow and Friday left in the studio.
There will be spoons.
Rick Emerson office, Rick Emerson studios. But here's the thing, and I don't mean to knock over the people at the other building where we're going to be soon. Let's just make friends in advance, shall we? The thing about
maybe you should keep your mouth shut.
I'm just saying, the coffee here, better than the coffee there.
That is true.
And they know this.
Are we going to get those big pots that we have here?
No. No.
Because we can't suffice on those
nice
little teeny.
Well, and the coffee's just not as good.
It's really watery. And
it's just, and that's known, by the way, because many people who work in the new studios, Rick Emerson Studios East, have said, because they know that we are coffee fans on this program, they've actually said, look, when you come over here, can we start getting that good coffee? Because here, as much as we sort of poke fun, I will tell you this. Right here, we have fantastic coffee at this building. I will never knock the coffee that we have here at CBS Radio Portland here at the Coin Tower. Because you press the button, it's like an In-N-Out burger thing. You press the button and the coffee, the beans are whole.
Well, it's a Kitty Couric brew.
Yeah, they are ground right in front of you.
You're right.
And then they go from being whole beans to being coffee in like 4 minutes. I mean, it's fantastic. And then over there, they got the old, like,
McDonald's.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyway, well, let's talk about Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift is this rising young country star who has this song called Tim McGraw. And the last time she was here, which is about 6 weeks ago, Sarah and I, as I've noticed, as I've observed in the past, Sarah and I have this bathroom behavior because all of the other bathrooms are closed. And the bathrooms, by the way, were supposed to be done January 1st, which was like a month ago. The bathrooms are supposed to be done. They haven't even started building the structure for the bathrooms. The bathrooms are not going to be done. I mean, we're gone. Doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me because we're going to be gone. But 2 months from now, the people who work here are still not going to have any place to use the bathroom. They're going to have to go to like the 50th floor, which requires using two elevators. You have to change elevators if you want to find an open bathroom in this building. It just doesn't make any sense. You take an elevator to one floor, get out, walk down the hall, take another elevator, and because it's like a 900-story building, the whole thing takes like an hour. But there's this artist bathroom over here that they use for the talent, the people on the air, and so forth. And so Sarah and I have just grown so used to it. Like, if it's locked, who must be in there? Well, it's Sarah. And if Sarah's outside and the bathroom's locked, well, it must be Rick. And so because we have this, I mean, because the relationship between Sarah and I is effectively that of 14-year-old kids who are hyper-caffeinated all the time. Over-sugared sibling-like relationship. Every time one of us is in the bathroom, the other one just stands outside, jiggles the handle to try to distract the person inside from being able to complete their business and kicks the door mercilessly while shouting profanity. And so that works really well, except when it's not Sarah in the bathroom. I'm outside doing all this, and it's a 16-year-old girl named Taylor Swift who's here to be interviewed by Couple Radio, who she's been told will treat her with dignity and respect. And instead, she's in there on this small bathroom. She's on the other side of a very thin door, and she's probably sitting on the toilet watching that. I don't mean to be blue, but seriously, sitting on the toilet watching the door handle jiggle. She's only 3 feet away from me outside, and my voice bellowing out there, "Open up! I know you're in there! Wham! Wham!" She thinks I'm some guy who has gotten past the front desk and broken through security, and I'm going to take her home and make her into a Taylor Swift pillow. It's all very awkward. It's made more awkward by this fact. Taylor Swift will be back tomorrow. I found out she will be back, and she's going to be in a couple studio, wait for it, all day. She's going to be the couple studio, which, you hear this, son? That's a window that we share with the couple studio. Taylor Swift is going to be in the couple studio all day long today, within eyesight of us. How else can we make this awkward? We'll make it more awkward by saying this, that God bless him, John, the program director for Couple, I swear to God this is true, has asked me to come in tomorrow morning on the Couple Morning Show and tell the Taylor Swift story while she is there, sitting like 4 feet away from me.
Awesome. Oh, come on. At least you'll be justified in her eyes.
No, but you know what it is.
You might be asked to perform that at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes. Can you tell that one story about the...
Kooky AM jock who doesn't have control over his limb.
You know why he's doing it, though. Here's totally why he's doing it. Because in the back of his program director mind, and again, I don't say this with any rancor. I know what he's doing. He's just thinking to himself, we want to have good relations with these artists. She may, in the back of her head, think that someone from Couple was stalking her and attempting to kill her. And so he wants to have me come on the show and put the blame squarely on myself so that in no way is she carrying around this misperception that someone from Couple was attempting to break down the door while she was urinating. So I have to go. I don't say I have to. I agreed to. I will be going on the Couple Morning Show tomorrow.
And begging for forgiveness.
I will be sitting like a foot away from Taylor Swift and going...
Chris, you remember that dirty old man?
Seriously.
Who was banging and yelling while you were trying to relieve yourself? Using a little dignity? Well, your people didn't think you were important enough to guard your bathroom door.
I'm going
to
be all like Chris Farley style. Like, you remember that time you were using the bathroom and somebody was like shouting profanity at the door and that was me. It's awesome. You know, I'm totally going to be like full on.
I wonder if she expressed concern about coming back to the Couple studio.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There must be some reason.
We should get him on and ask him.
Yeah, that won't be awkward.
Why not? He wants to put you on the air. We deserve to know.
Where is he? I don't even know where. I don't even know if he's here right now.
Let's, maybe Scotty J can go grab him.
We should play the song, though. Can we go into a break with the song?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
We can take an early break.
All right. We got to do this from a perspective with Scotty J anyway. Now, I'm going to talk over this a little bit because I want to tell you why this is a great song. This song is called...
It was written in the bathroom.
It's called Tim McGraw.
Please let me have the bathroom.
By this girl named Taylor Swift. That's a follow-up. I was in a bathroom stall. You were pounding on the wall. Thought you were gonna kill me dead. But it's the greatest idea for a song.
Why is
it? It is a song.
Yeah, I've never heard this. I don't.
It's a song, and again, it may not be your taste, but appreciate it from a pop point of view as a pop song.
Oh, so she's a pop artist.
Well, that's kind of
a crossover artist.
Yes.
Like a pixie chick.
And so she is. This song is to a boyfriend that she is no longer with.
She's only 14.
Just go with it. You've got to suspend your disbelief. The magic of Taylor Swift.
All right, let's see the
just
story.
Just like how Scotty suspends his disbelief by thinking that she's not 16. And it's all the things I love packaged into one. It is like the story of like coming of age. It's the story of coming of age. It's like lost for, you know, not lost, but I mean the first love that you had, that you remember back to your teenage years when you had the first love with somebody. It's referencing a favorite song. It's all of that. So it is a song from her or from whoever the character to someone she dated when she was a teenager, referencing their favorite.
She's 16.
Referencing their favorite song, which was by Tim McGraw. So go ahead if you want to play this. And the brilliance of this is,
yes,
you know it's only a matter of time before Tim McGraw joins her on stage to sing it at some point. And everyone will cry.
And ask her to marry him.
Totally. So here's the part where she references Tim McGraw. I mean, it's perfect. It's just... And see, and here's like where she's broken up with him. She's broken up with him, and she's broken up with him, and now she's all depressed and whatnot.
Oh, well.
I'm trying to talk about a thing of beauty here, Tim. I don't need your cynicism. See, she was gonna write him a letter. It's like that episode of The Wonder Years where he meets that girl. She writes him a letter saying we're gonna be together, and then he never hears from her again.
Maybe she was sitting in there writing on the letter when he was banging on the door.
Interrupted the letter. All right, there you go. So anyway. So that's Taylor Swift. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Scotty J and the Suburban Perspective. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Stay right there.
fantastic. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. I don't care if Lisa Goddard found it funny or not. That's hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, which is the final segment of our whatever. Anyway, so there, yeah, so there's that Taylor Swift song, Tim McGraw, which I don't mean to cast her. I don't mean to cause bad luck. I'm just saying that's one of those songs you write, and then you almost regret it because that's that song is such a huge hit. It's like the challenge is going to be for her to get out from underneath the shadow of, you don't want to be achy, breaky hearted. You know what I mean? Tomorrow morning, I will be, I'll be over on the Couple Morning Show sitting next to her. Now, of course, I don't...
Have you been told anything that you can't say to her?
Well, presumably I...
Any observations that you're not allowed to point out?
With the fact that she doesn't look 16? Yeah. No, of course, I do not think of her in that way because she is a 16-year-old and therefore...
And a performer.
And a performer, so I can appreciate a certain aesthetic appeal that she may have. But, of course, I do not think of her in any sort of untoward or Puritan way. That would be wrong. Anyway, so, yeah, they want me to tell the bathroom story where I'm like, get out of here, you're you know, which was probably...
And then you're
going
to make me sound crazy because you're like, well, my producer, yes, Sarah, we like to bang on the door as each other is
yes,
in the bathroom.
Yes, I am, Sarah. Yes, I am. It's time again. Now, for the love of... That's instant karma. Let me... Oh, damn it. It's time again. Scotty J to the studio, please. Paging Scotty J to the Rick Emerson studio. Hello, sir. Scotty J, how is your day going?
Scotty J.
Day's going great, and to all of you out there of which or whom I make sick, I wish you all a
speedy... Would you like to take another run at that sentence?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Let's leave it, but I wish you a speedy recovery.
Hey, were you able to...
Very nice to be...
Are you still having that trouble of none of the news organizations mentioning the State of the Union?
The trouble where I can't sleep at night?
No.
Because this nation is going to hell in a handbasket?
No.
No, I found what I was looking for.
You were claiming CNN, quote, wasn't covering the State of the Union address.
Right, I found what I was looking for.
Because you were surprised by that because CNN was what kind of network?
A little bit lib-oriented.
What are you basing that on?
Basing it on the news that they typically report on.
Such as?
President Bush.
So it's liberal to report on President Bush.
Now, the way that they report on President Bush is a liberal slant.
For example.
All the wrongdoings. How many people out there, or how many places can you go to and get news on the good things that he does? Or does he just absolutely do nothing good? And if that's the case, you know, whatever.
If that's the case, then whatever.
Yeah, I don't agree.
What's the case of this? Vice President Dick, this just handed to me. Vice President Dick Cheney on Wednesday dismissed as hogwash.
Yeah.
The suggestion that blunders may have hurt the administration's credibility on Iraq. Do you believe that we have made blunders in Iraq?
With any war, we make a blunder or two.
So
yeah, you know.
Do you believe that George Bush's credibility on Iraq is at an all-time high?
Yes. I'm just going to say that.
So, Scotty, today for the Suburban Perspective, we're going to talk about Sarah's date tonight.
Excellent.
No!
Oh, good. We finally can talk about something that doesn't infuriate the public.
Oh, no.
My dinner.
We'll return to the other subjects tomorrow. So, Sarah tonight is going on a dinner date with a man who has been a friend of hers for some time. Nothing tremendously serious, but wine will be served in their cloth napkins. So, my question to you is, Scotty J, as a man and a man of the suburbs, what is your male perspective on Sarah's dinner date?
And to Tom Likas' voice.
Don't do it in Tom Likas.
Okay, my first perspective is
the content.
Could it possibly become a champagne date?
What does that mean?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, we don't.
New Year's Eve?
What do you mean?
Where you know, get out of the beer bottles and wine and you up to champagne. Because you're having a good time, right?
So are you asking, could he change alcohol?
Sure.
I'm sure they might have champagne there.
I don't understand the question.
I'm just wondering,
why would he get champagne?
You guys were talking about, what kind of date is this? Is it a beer date or a wine date? And my question,
I like wine or cocktail.
My question from earlier was, that came to mind, could this possibly escalate into a champagne date?
What is a champagne date?
Where you hit the next level.
What is the next level?
Maybe where you hover a little more heavily around third base.
where you hover.
What base is third again?
I don't know, Scotty. What's third
base? That's Feely, I think. Not sure exactly. Been out of that running for a number of years.
That's sad. Are you saying that you no longer have a third base? Is that a
Was it removed
surgically, or
bases are more for dating, not for marriages?
Like, hey, yeah, I've been married 25 years. I hit third base last night, dude. What do you think about that? What is What is third base?
I think it's more touchy-feely.
I know, but
what's a home run?
So if I were to massage Sarah's toes, that is third base.
No, you'd have to move up a little higher. Past the waist, of course. Above the waist, let's put it
there. Her navel. If I were to massage Sarah's navel.
That would be...
Well, let me understand this. So you believe that the touching... how do I put this? It'll be very delicate. You believe that the touching of a delicate area with the hand, that's third base?
Yeah.
So then...
You're the one who brought this up earlier, so why are you twisting this into my perspective?
First of all, I'm not twisting anything. I am attempting to find out what your... I have the rest of the show to my perspective. This show, whole show is Rick Emerson's perspective. We are now asking the suburban perspective. I am the urban or city perspective, Scotty. My question is, if the touching with the hand of a sensitive area, a swimsuit area...
This has nothing to do with the date.
Yeah, I want
to
hear about the date.
Scotty believes it does, because Scotty wants to know if this could turn into a champagne date, which he defines as third base.
In order to get to third base, you have to be drinking champagne?
My question to you is, Scotty, if that is third base, then what is the act that Monica Lewinsky engaged in? What base is that?
That is borderline home run.
So it's...
But it's the third? Is it like the runner stuck between third and
home? Yeah, like she's gonna get, you know, she did. She got nailed with the ball.
Oh, man.
That sounded bad. You better get rid of that.
No, you meant tagged.
Yes.
Between third and home base. Nailed
with
the ball.
She's out.
Tagged by a team.
He's tagged by a team.
And so is Clinton, by the way. He's not president anymore, in case anybody didn't notice.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, so this man has asked Sarah out for a dinner date. What is your advice to him, man to man?
Well, you know, I am a graduate of Likas 101.
Go ahead.
He is a father in some respects. And if he's going to spend more than 40, I would strongly, you know, be against that.
So you don't believe Sarah Dillon is worth $40?
No, it's just a general rule.
What does it mean, Scotty?
A general rule for all females.
So how much money do you believe Sarah's worth for dinner? Not theoretically. I mean, speaking specifically, you believe Sarah is worth $40 or less, but not more than that.
Oh, on a date situation, if he's trying to date her, $40 or less.
All right.
So but as a friend, hey, she's worth, you know, whatever.
So you think that Sarah's worth, so you believe that Sarah's actually worth less if you're trying to have an intimate relationship.
Right.
But actually, the more intimate Sarah wants to be, the less she's worth to you.
Pretty much.
Like a 101 follower.
No, I heard her outline her date, and if I were that guy listening to the radio, I'd be a little bit scared on how much I spent if I had some certain objectives in mind for the night.
Why is that?
I don't think there are objectives.
Why is that?
Why is that, Scotty?
Because it sounds to me like if he has certain objectives...
What objectives are those?
Objectives that might be... some kind of touchy-feely nature.
You keep saying touchy-feely. That's a term I equate with therapy or some kind of a children's book where everybody hugs at the end and learns a lesson.
Yeah, that reminds me.
You mean
the Michael Jackson?
Are you referring to
touchy-feely?
Referring to biblical
book.
Relations, Scotty?
Yes. All right. Biblical relations.
So when you say champagne date, is it champagne because they've woken up together the next morning at the hotel?
Sure.
Okay. Wanted to crack.
Bliss and bliss in my 9-foot by 9-foot bedroom.
drinking mimosas in the tin shack.
Are the walls padded?
Did you?
Okay. No, I didn't.
Seriously, who are you?
How do you let them speak?
Let's see. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective. Hello.
Oh, dear God. Please, please to shoot him. I'd rather listen to Jolie. Please,
no,
for the love of our sweet and fluffy Lord, just kill him.
There's no need to call for the death of Scotty, sir. That seems a little over the line.
Well, it may be, but maybe for my sanity.
All right.
I don't know. Well, you're the one that wants to throw a spider monkey at people, so, I figure it out.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I do. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
I wanted to just summarize what I'm hearing as Scotty. When Scotty heard that Sarah was having a date,
yes,
apparently he envisioned a gentleman with performing various intimate actions with her, which he called certain objections, upon completion of which the fellow pops a bottle of champagne and congratulations, it's celebration time.
Is that what you meant, Scotty?
Sure. That's a great analogy.
Oh, goodness.